One. Good morning, Lillooet, and welcome to another day of live broadcasting here on CHLS 100.5 FM. My name is Jeff O'Kelly. This program is Snooze Button, and I'll be with you until 9 o'clock. We started out with some very cheery music by Vivaldi. I realized, actually, when I was not putting the show together, but putting my log sheet together this morning, that I probably played this sometime in the past few months, though not in the past 2 months anyway, I think at least. What we heard was the first movement of a concerto in C major for two flutes. And I was able to remember that I had played it because of the names of the flutists, Duke Dobing and Deborah Davis. I don't know, that's just fun to say. They were playing with the City of London Sinfonia, and the conductor was Nicholas Kramer, and we are going to hear them finish the piece off. I wanted to start with some flute music because I think of the flute as kind of an air-conditioned sounding instrument. It sounds cool, not in a colloquial sense, but in a temperature sense. It somehow feels that way to me, or sounds that way to me. And it turned out maybe it won't be as necessary today. Anyway, let's get into that. We'll come back and hear the rest of the concerto in a few minutes, but let us talk about the weather and the roads. Let's see, yesterday's low 18.4, the high made it up to 41.1. Now, that was a new record for July the 13th. I don't think that it was a new record for hot temperatures in Lillooet. Just for any of you who may be visiting from out of the country and aren't familiar with the centigrade system, or aren't used to it anyway, or Celsius system, 41.1 translates to 106.0 in Fahrenheit, which is much more impressive sounding, I must admit. As of 8 a.m., the temperature at 22 degrees. Wow, okay, I'm surprised. I know why. I've got the refreshed temperature there. Never mind. Environment Canada tells us we're going to get a little bit of relief today. Maybe not a ton of relief, but some. Today, mainly cloudy, risk of a thunderstorm this afternoon. Wind from the south at 20 kilometers per hour, gusting to 40 early this afternoon. The high predicted today at 36 and the UV index at 6, which is high, but still a little bit lower than it has been. I can't promise that Environment Canada's forecast will hold true. I will admit this morning it's nice to have a little bit of a cloud cover just to keep things cool for a bit longer in the day. Tonight, clearing in the evening, but the risk of a thunderstorm early in the evening. Wind from the south at 20, gusting to 40. A low tonight of 22 degrees. Tomorrow, we're back into the heat. Sunny, wind from the south at 30, gusting to 50, a high of 39. Wednesday, continuing hot, sunny, a low of 22, a high of 40. And then Thursday is when it looks like things will change substantially, and we will have a, well, given the circumstances, a major cooling trend. Thursday, a mixture of sun and cloud with a 30% chance of showers, predicted to have a low of 21 and a high of 25. And Friday, back to sunny, a low 16, a high of 27. So at least for a little bit, we may be done here with, not done with the heat wave yet. We've got a few more days to get through. Let's see. There was something else I wanted to tell you about regarding heat, but I don't remember what it is. So we'll just leave that alone. I'm just giving my brain the last possible chance to check on that. Okay, no luck. Let's take a look at conditions across the country and around the province right now in St. John's, Newfoundland. There it is. Mostly cloudy and 21 degrees. Montreal is 21 and partly cloudy. In Toronto, it's mostly cloudy and 19. Iqaluit at 10 degrees and sunny. Winnipeg, partly cloudy and 14. Saskatoon is 14 and sunny. Yellowknife, mostly cloudy and 15. In Edmonton, it's 19 degrees and sunny. Calgary, smoky and 16 degrees. Whitehorse is 13 degrees and partly cloudy. In Prince George, it is sunny and 14. And a little closer to home, Clinton, sunny and 16. Hope, 22 and mostly clear. Mostly cloudy. I'll come back to Hope in a second. Kamloops, 22 and partly cloudy, and 17 degrees in Pemberton. Hope, because it's at the north end of the Fraser Valley, is they have a special air quality statement in effect. Generally, just that the air quality is supposed to be poorer due to high ozone levels down near ground level. And that will apply even more so, I would guess, as you get into Abbotsford and Chilliwack and that area. So if you're spending much time in the Fraser Valley today, or maybe for the next couple of days, I'm not sure how long those conditions will go on, just be aware of that possibility. Let's see. Let's also do highways now. Highway 1, I don't have anything to report. Highway 40, we've got the construction between 12 and 16 kilometers west of Lillooet, 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. That carries on through September 15th, single lane alternating traffic there. Highway 99 south, excuse me. Let's see, I should mention heavy traffic that is expected between Whistler and Pemberton due to the Pemberton Music Festival from Wednesday of this week through Sunday, July the 20th. Plan your travel in advance, allow extra time, or plan alternate routes. That really could be quite a tangle, and with very hot temperatures expected for that day and afternoon, Wednesday I mean, just be prepared for that. Also on Highway 99 South, the construction continues from 14 to 28 kilometers south of Lillooet. 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday, running through September 15th with single lane alternating traffic. And I think that's it for the highways. Just a couple of other temperature things to mention while we're here. Let's see. I compared Lillooet's hot temperature yesterday versus the record high, or the high yesterday's for Lytton and Soyuz. Soyuz 40.0, Lytton 40.3. So that would seem to make us the hotspot in BC. However, if you go to the CBC website and their BC News, there's an article about the heat wave in which they say that Lytton had the temperature reading of 41.1 and that Lillooet's high was 40.6. And I don't know if they just mixed things up or if Environment Canada's information is wrong. And the CBC claims to have gotten that information from Environment Canada as well, but it's not matching with what I'm seeing on the screen. Anyway, just thought I would mention that if we weren't the hotspot, We sure felt like it. Okay, 8-11, let's carry on with Antonio Vivaldi, and I don't think I need to say much more about this piece. Concerto for two flutes in C major, Rhyme number 533, if you're keeping track in the Rhyme catalog of Vivaldi's compositions. We have the slow movement and the very short slow movement and very short concluding movement to go. Once again, we have Duke Dobing and Deborah Davis playing the flutes with the City of London Sinfonia, and Nicholas Kramer is directing, and I think he's playing the harpsichord as well. Music by Antonio Vivaldi. We heard the second and third movements that come from his concerto in C major for two flutes. Duke Dobing and Deborah Davis playing the flutes, City of London Sinfonia, and the conductor was Nicholas Kramer. And yeah, I realize we only had music playing there for, 3 minutes and 55 seconds. I didn't absolutely probably have to tell you who the performers were again, both before and afterwards. But, I occasionally still do tune into CBC2, at least during some of their classical hours of programming. And that's something that their announcers tend to be very lax about doing. And I realize these days a lot of that information may be online and that sort of thing. First of all, with Radio Lillooet, it is not available online. But also, the whole point of radio, it seems to me, is that or of any medium should be that you can get what you want and the information you need from that medium itself without having to resort to another medium in order to try and find that information. So, in other words, if you're listening to a radio show, the radio show should be telling you who the performers are. You shouldn't have to go to the internet to find out. And so that is why I will, as long as I remember to do so, always be identifying performers both before and afterwards for maximum clarity. Okay, a little diversion there. 8:17, let me tell you what's coming up today on Radio Lillooet. When Snooze Button wraps up, I'll leave you with the Folk World Reggae playlist. Later this afternoon is Democracy Now! From 3 until 4 p.m. At 6 p.m., it is Science for the People, and this evening's edition is called Mother Nature is Trying to Kill You. This week, we're learning how deadly and delightful our planet and its ecosystem can be. And they'll be joined by biologist Dan Riskin, co-host of Discovery Canada's Daily Planet, to talk about his book called Mother Nature is Trying to Kill You, A Lively Tour Through the Dark Side of the Natural World. And they'll also talk to astronomer and author Phil Pleat about Science Getaways, a company that offers educational vacation experiences for science lovers. So that is Science for the People tonight at 6 p.m. That radio sta or that program comes to us from radio station CJSR at the University of Alberta in Edmonton. It's a really interesting and entertaining program. Tonight's edition sounds a little lighter than some of lighter-hearted than some of them have been, despite the fact it's about Mother Nature trying to kill you. I suspect there'll be a lot of very, very interesting stuff in there. Let's see, we better talk about fire prohibitions. There's not anything new to tell you from the bcwildfire.ca website. Open fires, open burning bans are still very much in effect, both from from the province of British Columbia, but also from the district of Lillooet. Campfires, to my surprise, are still permitted. Campfire defined as burning materials in a circular area no more than a half meter in diameter and piled no more than a half meter in height. But if the dry conditions do continue, we can expect that will probably change at some point in the not too distant future. Otherwise, forest use still remains unrestricted here in the Kamloops Fire Centre. Now, when you go to the Wildfires of Note page on the bcwildfire.ca website, there are substantially more fires listed there than there were last week. However, none of them are in the Kamloops Fire Centre, which is what we are in. But it sounds like there are a number up in the Prince George area and over towards the Alberta border, and I think there's one up around Quesnel, all of which are definitely creating problems. Okay, let's continue. It's looking to me like timing-wise, today's show may end up being a little short. Depends on what I find to natter on about here. We're going to turn to some very rarely heard chamber music by Frédéric Chopin. Let's see, Chopin's chamber music can pretty much be listed. I should be able to do it from memory. His Opus 1, if I recall correctly, was a trio for piano, violin, and cello, which is really kind of a neat piece. It's not may not be brilliant writing for the violin and a cello, but the whole piece sounds kind of like Chopin, and I think it works very well. And then there is a sort of a fantasy for cello and piano based on the themes from an opera by Giacomo Meyerbeer. And there's a set of variations for flute and piano. And then there is this, oh, and the late cello sonata by Chopin as well, much, much later in his career. And then we also have this Polonaise Brillante, which is what we're going to listen to again for the cello. The only instrument beside the piano that Chopin seemed to have any real great fondness for. And this piece was written for a Count Radziwill, if I recall correctly, a Polish nobleman. He played the cello, his daughter played the piano, And so Chopin probably intended it, it was dedicated to them, and he almost certainly intended it for them to play. Not, they weren't public concert performers or anything like that. That was beneath the dignity of a nobleman to do that. Would have been just for private use. The piece starts out with a slowish introduction, and then there's a little bit of a cadenza that leads into the main polonaise. That cadenza originally was written by Chopin for the piano, but the 20th century cellist Emmanuel Feuermann came up with his own edition of this piece, in which he transferred as much as he could, anyway, cadenza from the piano to the cello, and made a few other little changes in the piece. You kind of have to be a string player to really appreciate all the subtleties of the instrument. So although there have been many, many composers who weren't string players that wrote for strings, generally the very best writing you will find for stringed instruments is done by string players, and even many composers will consult professional string players. Even composers who have some background in string playing will consult professional string players about their music and about the parts they've written for help with making it more effective on the instrument. So, another little digression there. Let's hear this recording of the Polonaise Brillante by Chopin. Maria Kliegel is playing the cello, and Bernd Glemser is the pianist.
Thank you.
music by Chopin. Not somebody you ordinarily associate with the cello, but not entirely inappropriate either. He loved the instrument, and as I mentioned earlier, he wrote a very rather large-scale sonata for it. Not a huge piece, but challenging enough very late in his life. What we just heard there, though, was the Polonaise Brillante, which came from fairly early on in his career. He would have been 19 or 20 years old when he wrote this piece. And that was a recording featuring Maria Kliegel on the cello, having to play a very high note there at the end. And Bernd Glemser was playing the piano, both performers whose playing I have enjoyed a great deal in a variety of
nothing
music.
And everything.
Okay, I have
that's
no
what's different about the 2014.
No idea where that was coming from. It obviously was the internet, since I have now shut it down, and I don't usually get that kind of advertising coming through. So sorry about that. I really hate it when that happens. I think that might have been coming from the Guardian website, which is extraordinary because they're usually very careful about not having anything autoplay. Alright, let's do some public service announcements. We will start with the backpacking trip. There was supposed to have been a backpacking trip sponsored by the Rec Center to Blowdown Lake this past weekend. There had not been enough people registered by Friday. So that has been tentatively rescheduled to Tuesday and Wednesday of this week, if I recall correctly, the 15th and 16th, tomorrow and the next day. And if the Rec Center receives enough interest and there are 8 registered participants by the end of today, then that hike will go ahead. The cost is $40. Supper and breakfast are provided, and the whole hike will include an introduction to backpacking. Lots of valuable information from the guide, Wayne Robinson. That hike to Blowdown Lake listed as of moderate difficulty. The next scheduled hike is July 24th, a day hike to the Downton Alpine Meadows, also moderate difficulty. August 7th, day hike to Holbrook Peak. That one is listed as difficult. And August 18th to 22, a backpacking trip, multiple day backpacking trip into the South Chilcotins. If you'd like more information about any of these hikes, get in touch with the Rec Center at 250-256-7527. The Legion Golf Tournament coming this Saturday, July the 19th. Please pre-register at the Legion. They also have the Apricot Festival Steak Dinner coming up later this month, July 26th, from 5 until 8 p.m. The Tsquilax First Nation has a General Assembly meeting coming up this Sunday, Sunday, July the 20th at 10 a.m. That'll be downstairs in the band office. And finally, the Lillooet Food Matters Gleaning Project can help if you've got too much fruit and not enough bodies or time to pick it. For more info, I think that some of that fruit then goes to Lillooet Food Matters, and they dispose of it in a reasonable, intelligent way. If you'd like more information, get in touch with Angela at 256-0470. All right, it's 8:34, and we are going to carry on. We're going to turn to music by Dmitri Shostakovich now, which, coming after Chopin, might seem a bit odd. In fact, Shostakovich himself, when he was a young man, he had been quite a brilliant pianist. And I seem to recall that he was a competitor in the Chopin International Piano Competition back in the early 1930s, if I recall correctly. Could be earlier than that, even. Not a complete, well, sound-wise, it is a complete drastic change from Chopin to Shostakovich. The piece we're going to hear is one of Shostakovich's much lighter pieces. You find scattered throughout his compositions, the shorter pieces, a movement here or there, or an overture or something like that, which tend to be lighter in style, the ballet suites. But it's rare to find a concerto or a symphony or a string quartet by him that can truly be said to be light, but this one definitely is. The Piano Concerto No. 2 in F major. He wrote this in 1957, and really quite neat. He wrote it as a piece for his son, Maxime, who was a pianist. Maxime was 19 at the time, and he was about to graduate from the Moscow Conservatory. But he, like all pianists, had to give a final concert type thing. And so Maxime was able to pull out a concerto written specially for him by his father for that purpose. It's in pretty standard three movements. The first movement, fairly light and cheery, actually. You get a feeling for that right off the bat with the bassoon solo that opens the piece up. And frequently uses rather martial rhythms, but not they don't sound terribly serious. The second movement is quite romantic in its feel. It's not a terribly technically challenging movement for the pianist. Can be fairly easily played. But it's unusual in that Shostakovich really gives into, by his standards, quite a lush kind of romanticism. There's a theme in the slow movement that actually reminds me of Rachmaninoff. It's not as extravagantly scored for the piano as it would have been by Rachmaninoff. It's much sparer, but it still has that same romantic feeling to it. And then the third movement is a thoroughly comedic romp, I guess we would have to say. And there's a little joke for Maxime's benefit, for his son's benefit in this. There are some passages that are imitating what are known as the Hannon exercises. I don't even know Hannon's first name, but there's been a volume of the Hannon exercises floating out there for, I don't know, almost 100 years now that pianists have been using. Generally considered to be some of the most boring and dull finger studies anybody has ever come up with, although they're useful enough for warming up the fingers, but they're still not anybody's favorites. Anyway, these passages in the concerto seem to be quoting Hannon, and considering this piece was used as a graduation piece by Maxime, it must have given him a little bit of a kick to be able to do that, and hopefully maybe a kick to the adjudicators listening. I'm not entirely sure. The concerto has never really met with great critical acclaim from critics per se, who feel it's just very lightweight, not Shostakovich at his best. He himself said that it was completely lacking in artistic merit, but he may have been saying that also. He said that very early on, shortly after writing the piece. He may have done that in order to sort of take control of the situation, expecting that it would be criticized. However, with audiences, it has been a fairly popular piece, and it's easy to understand why, just because it has such a great sense of fun to it. Anyway, let's listen to this recording with Angela Cheng on the piano, and the CBC Vancouver Orchestra is conducted by Mario Bernardi. That was music by Dmitri Shostakovich. We've actually managed to fit in two complete concertos in the course of today's show. Vivaldi to start and Shostakovich just now. We heard the piano concerto number 2 by Shostakovich. Angela Cheng was playing the piano with the CBC Vancouver Orchestra and the late, great Mario Bernardi conducting. It is 8:59. We're going to do an encore. And I chose an encore, again, sort of a cool air conditioning kind of piece. Which, as it turns out, may not be so essential today, but we're going to do it anyway. We'll listen to Jeux d'eau, or fountains, or water games, or play of the water. There are many ways of translating that phrase. But fountains, I think, is probably what Ravel had in mind when he wrote this piece, Maurice Ravel. It comes from around the year 1900. And at the time, Ravel was still in his studies, the later phase of his studies, studying with Gabriel Fauré. At some point later on, Ravel apparently left a statement saying that this piece should be played as if it were by Liszt, meaning with a great deal of brilliance. Thankfully, not everybody quite follows up on that. I mean, yes, it needs virtue. It requires a virtuoso technique to play the piece, and it offers plenty of opportunities for virtuoso display, but it is by no means an empty piece of virtuosic display. Anyway, I've chosen a recording today that I think fits the air conditioning aspect of this piece so well. This is French pianist Pascal Roger, and generally this piece in most recordings is about 5.5 to 6.5 minutes long. Roger takes 5:48, which means he's a little bit shorter than some, but a teeny bit longer than a few others. But somehow, and this is kind of one of the great mysteries of music making, somehow he manages to sound slower and more relaxed than any other, most other pianists that I'm familiar with this piece, and that's what particularly gives it that cool feel to me. The last couple of pages of this piece, I don't know, maybe not even about a minute in length, Pascal Roger finds a particular kind of sunset glow sound and color for those last two pages, which I've never heard anybody else quite achieve in just the same way. There are lots of great recordings of this piece, and someday I might bring in two in a row, two very contrasting ones to play. Anyway, let's go with Pascal Roger now playing Jeux d'eau, music by Ravel. Thank you. Air conditioned music by Maurice Ravel. We've been listening to Jeu d'eau, or The Fountain, or The Play of the Water, or The Game of the Water. That was a recording with French pianist Pascal Roger. All right, it's 9:07. That is it for today's edition of Snooze Button.